This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. It's a special edition of the whole show today. It's kind of been a special edition of KFKA today because our great friend, the one and only Jerry Schimmel, is doing this race across the West, an 860-mile race from Oceanside, California to Durango, Colorado, passes through four states and 56,000 total feet of elevation gain. I don't even know what most of that means, Jerry. I just know that it's probably really hard. So we're going to be talking a lot about that and then the cause that this is all tied to, Best Day Ministries. It is wonderful, and we're raising some funds today. If you are interested, please check out the website, teambestday.com, and we'll give some more details on that a little bit later. We're going to pick Jerry's brain about the sports side of things, too, because of course, if you're into sports in the state of Colorado, you know the name Jerry Schimmel. But, Jerry, we also have a great guest here on the show. Brad Cooper's joining us. He was your relay partner when you guys won the race across America in 2015.
Yeah.
So Brad Cooper's joining us now.
Brad
Jerry.
Cooper, not the actor,
not Bradley,
the more famous man,
Better looking too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just hear it already.
Yeah, Brad Cooper was my relay partner in 2015 when we won the race across America, won the two person division, and I just wanted to bring Brad on number one because he's a great friend and an incredibly gifted triathlete and cyclist to try to give the folks because Cooper, I can tell people a hard this is and how much training got to do and all that. But when you get somebody else to describe it that's been there, I think it's always accurate too. If someone asked you, you know what this is, we did Race Across America, but if someone asked you, hey, tell me about Race Across the West as a solo racer, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I think it's got a lot of unique challenges that we didn't have to face in what we did with Race Across America. Because Jerry, you and I, it's like we had this it's really interesting for folks listening. You think, oh, yeah, they're going to be talking all the time. We talk zero because you literally, Jerry would pull up next to me and then I'd take off. And then, you know, an hour later, I'd pull up next to him and he'd take off. So it'd be more like, good job, bud. Way to go. That's awesome. Killing it. Whatever. So, but we had each other. And there were times that you read my mind. Where you'd say, hey, let me take an extra hour here because I can tell that you're just not feeling like yourself. And then I do the same thing with you the next day or whatever. And you don't have that. So in Raw, it is you. And obviously, you've got your support team. They're going to be encouraging you. You're going to have a few fans out there on the course. But it is Jerry Schimmel. And you don't have a teammate or I don't have a teammate to come in and pick up the slack when you have a bad hour or a bad day. It's all on you, buddy.
Yeah.
How does the relay work? Because I'm fascinated by this. Because I think of like a relay in track and field and all that stuff. It's, hey, I'm running, I hand off the baton, I'm done running. How does the relay portion of this one work? Brad, Jerry, both of you guys.
Yeah, it's a constant. So the race clock never stops. And we got so far ahead of the other two-person teams that Jerry and I started racing the four-person German team. And if you've seen the film, you hear us going, come on, let's get the Germans. And and so this clock is moving constantly. And you can rest. You can sit and have a picnic on the side of the road if you want. That's fine. But the other teams are moving. And so the relay is one of you, in theory, is always riding. So Jerry would come in, I'd be ready, the team would have, we had an amazing support crew, the team would have me all ready as he was coming, you know, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, here he comes, okay, and go, and you'd take off, and then you can decide when you want to trade. so there were times Clay Plow was an amazing team cat. He led the whole thing. And I think he saw things that Jerry and I didn't realize. And I remember as we were going through the heat of Arizona, which was just brutal. I think it was 120 that year. And he said, let's shrink the trade-offs to 30 minutes. Because we were doing an hour and 10 minutes, 50 minutes, something like that. And he said, guys, we're going to go to 30 minutes for the next 12 hours or something. And I fought it. I'm like, Clay, no. But he was right. He was right. And so you have that option. You can switch every 10 minutes, every 2 hours, wherever you want.
When you're not right, when you're not on the bike, so are you, you're in a vehicle moving along too? Like yeah. That's what you're, so when you're not on the bike, you get off the bike, you load up the bike, you get in a vehicle, and then you drive down to the next, next bullet point.
Yep. In our relay, Brad and I each had a follow vehicle. So we had our own designated follow vehicle. So when Brad would be coming up doing his hour, I would be out in a designated spot that the crew would pick out and I would be ready to go. And what you have to do is, we all overlapped a lot each other, but you have to come and be even with the back wheel of the rider in front of you. So as long as you're close, you can a lot of times it overlap, but it's hard for the crew, and it's not going to be, if you think about this, Coop, how much easier it is going to be for the crew. No exchanges, no relays.
Right.
So if you're doing an exchange, Brady, you got to find the right spot. You got to find a shoulder you can pull off to be safe. You don't want to do it on uphill because you don't want that next rider to have to go uphill. You don't want to go downhill because that's dangerous. So you got to find the right spot. That's a lot of decision making that the crew that I will have as a solo racer will not have that responsibility. So it'd be a lot easier, which is good because we have an all rookie crew, just like Coop and I did. What did we have? 15 people, Coop, and not one single person had done the Ram before, but we made it work.
And Brady, it's interesting. Jerry basically sent me back to school because when I finished Ram with him and then had a couple other events that year, an Ironman and a marathon, and there was a lot of cognitive stuff. There's a lot of mental aspects that didn't make sense, that I'd be really fading sometimes and doing better other times. And so I literally went back and got a PhD to study functional mental toughness to try to figure out what was it that Jerry and I were experiencing during those times. What was it during that Ironman? What was it that was affecting above and beyond or in parallel with the physiology aspects? And sleep, you asked, what do we do when we take that break? Every chance we got, we slept. And one of the strategies we implemented that the other teams didn't is we tried to extend our evening shifts. So, you know, maybe Jerry would go till, I think generally I would go till 11 or 12, and then Jerry would take over from 11 or 12 to maybe 3 in the morning or 3:30 in the morning, and then I'd take back over. And we would extend those. A lot of the teams would limit that to the same hour breaks that they were doing during the day. And we said, no, sleep is so powerful when it comes to mental and physical abilities that we're going to take a hit the first couple days if the other teams pick up speed on us and pick up distance while we're taking these four-hour pulls while we're not moving as fast. But once we got into day 3 and 4, we just started crushing them because we were starting to get that deeper rim. And that's a big challenge Jerry's going to face with Raw, is making that decision of how much can I limit that? Because if I limit it too much, he's going to fall off a cliff, maybe literally, but certainly figuratively in those last couple of days. But if he does too much, he gives up too much time. So that's the math that Jerry's having to deal with, that he and I dealt with it, but he's going to face it on a much bigger level.
Jerry, how much do you lean on Brad, like in this process now, knowing, hey, you counted on him on the, you know, being there as a relay partner. Mm-hmm. Now you're probably counting on him to kind of to help you kind of do the math on this too.
Yeah. Yep, exactly right. And he and some other people that are racers and riders that I know that I will have as sources and would help me along the way. And Coop's always, he's always texting me, how's the training going? How you doing? And those things mean everything. They really do. And it's interesting too, and Brad mentioned this too, how well we work together. I mean, to win the two-person relay, no matter how talented you are, no matter how ready, you've got to click. And we did that. We have very different personalities. You can already tell Brad is, he's very outgoing. He's very energetic. And he was the guy that's going to put his head down and go, hey, we're going to win this thing, man. We're going to go as fast as we can. And Jerry's back there going, well, let's do that, but let's be safe. Okay. Let's,
and but you got to have that balance.
You
right?
do. And that's, I think, why we click so well and why we work together so well.
Brad, what's your best piece of advice for Jerry? Like, what, you get elevator speech type thing. What are you saying to him?
Two things. We know how hard the heat is in Raw. In Ram, it balances out because it literally got cold on us toward the end of the race.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with the heat in a big way in Race Across America. You're really, if you're compressing it, dealing with it on an even higher level at Raw. And so the preparation for that heat, the sauna training, the training with warm outfits, the doing a lot, if not most, of the training indoors in a warm room with a jacket on, with a skull cap on, we know that is a huge area for this race. So that would be number one. Number two, really could be 1A. You need the miles. Like, you just need the miles. There's no replay. When we were preparing for Ram, I would take Friday off from work and do 12-hour ride in my basement on Friday, a 10-hour ride on Saturday, and an 8-hour ride on Sunday so that I could get my body used to doing 30 hours over 3 days. That's far easier than the actual race, but at least there was some of that. And there's no replacing both the cognitive and the physiological aspects of pulling those things together and having those miles in your legs. So those are two big ones. And then figure out the sleep plan and stay with it early. It's so tempting to say, there's my competition. I got to go get them.
Yeah.
No. This is a 10-day race or whatever your target is. It's not a one-day race. It's not a two-day race. So make sure we stay to the plan.
Hey, Coop, let me ask you this question. If someone is going to ask you, hey, I heard you're doing the race across the West, 860 miles across four states, 58,000 feet of elevation gain. What is your biggest challenge? What would you tell them?
It might be related to what I was saying about staying with the plan, because you feel so it's kind of like a marathon. What's the old saying? Ali or Tyson, whoever said, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the face, hit in the jaw, hit in the nose. It's that kind of a response that you need a great plan based on your training, your preparation, and then you've got to stay with it because it's going to be so – you're going to feel great for a couple maybe not a couple days, but you're going to feel great for 18 hours with your training, and you're going to feel pretty good day two. But then you're going to start going off a cliff, and if you haven't stayed with the plan, it is – all out the window. So I think the biggest thing would be figure it out and stay with that plan, regardless of how good you feel, with the only exception being weather shifts. If you see something coming that you need to react to, then make that adjustment. But make it for a rational reason, not an emotional reason.
Yeah. Man, it just sounds so intense. And it's not just the day of, the start of and the actual race. It's the preparation before.
Oh. It's all the preparation.
I would imagine it's all of that leading into it. Brad, what do you think of obviously the cause tied to this race for Jerry personally? And there's so many he shared with us already, his personal connection to Best Day Ministries. But what do you think of obviously the cause and one of the main drivers behind what Jerry's doing?
It's awesome. And Jerry's history lines up with this. You look at all the things he's done for the last 30 plus years. It's always with a deeper meaning. And it's interesting when I looked at this functional mental toughness model, Jerry's approach, having that deeper meaning affects your cognitive response to stress. And so it's really cool what it's doing. And our daughter's involved in a similar type of thing. So it really resonates. But we also know, and he's not doing it for this reason, but he will benefit because he's got this extra reason, this part of who Jerry is. You bring who you are, not just what you do, into everything that you're doing, and especially events like this. And Jerry always does such a good job of bringing that uniqueness of who is Jerry Schemmel really into everything he does, and this is a great example.
It's a special cause, no question. And we're asking folks, of course, to whatever they can donate. Every penny counts on this. And again, that website is teambestday.com. Is there anything else you'd like to ask Brad, Jerry, while we got him on here?
I don't think so. I'll just make a comment, though. I mean, I talked about how different Coop and I are and our personalities. And he's talking about the number one challenge. For me, the challenge is different. I think the biggest challenge for me is keeping the cigarette lit on the downhills. That's the biggest challenge for me. I mean, when you're going uphill and you had that cigarette in your mouth,
yeah,
it because you're going slow, you can keep it lit. Uh-huh. But if you're going downhill, it's hard to keep a cigarette lit. It really is. It's a challenge. Yeah, it's
something I wouldn't connect with.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Brad, thoughts?
Well, first of all, Jerry, I would not smoke.
That's going to keep me awake.
This is an interesting race here.
I think the reality is the biggest challenge is going to be something that neither one of us have thought of. Something's going to happen, and his team, his preparation, his ability to come in with more than he needs. You don't go into a business with just enough. You don't go into a marathon with just enough. And Jerry cannot and will not go into this event with just enough. And when those unexpecteds come, that's when the margin's going to pay off and provide what he needs.
Couldn't agree more. There's going to be the unexpected. You expect the unexpected in a race like this, no question.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to following along with your journey, Jerry, and catching up with you after the fact, too. Brad, great to get to know you here for a slight few minutes here, man. Really appreciate you jumping on the show.
Good to talk to you, Jerry. Thanks. Brady, good luck. Thanks, guys.
All right. Coop's a CSU guy, by the way.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he lives in Fort Collins.
So he's a big Rams fan?
Yeah, big Rams fan.
Okay,
yeah,
we'll be normally we have – you punted Kevin Lytle from the Coloradoan today, so normally a little CSU stuff. But, you know, it's May 28th. What are we going to talk about? Yeah, you know, although college sports just continues to change, Jerry. I don't know how much you follow all that, but that's a completely different world now, too.
It is. Yeah, and some of it not very healthy.
No, and I saw this come across the top of the hour too with the SEC and their press release about, you know, they're fighting a bunch of what Congress is wanting to do, the playoff expansion. I mean, they might just pick up their ball and go somewhere else.
Yeah,
the SEC might just leave the NCAA.
I read that last night. Yep.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing. I want to talk to you maybe a little bit about that, but when we come back, if we can, you're still doing UNC games on the ESPN Plus side of things, and you're phenomenal there. I text you regularly because I'm watching and I see you there. But we, of course, connected with Jerry. He was doing the radio side of things for UNC, but I want to pick your brain about something really cool that you did for the basketball team that Steve Smiley and I still talk about, bringing up a really special guest to come watch basketball practice for a day. And I got a chance to meet this guy. So we'll talk about that connection coming up here in just a bit. Jerry Schimmel joining us today, talking a lot about racing and a lot about what this means to Jerry and Best Day Ministries. I can't wait to meet some of the folks that that work there.
Oh, you'll love it.
Yeah,
I love it, Brady.
Really interested in that for sure. Keep it here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
For Dad this Father's Day, make sure he subscribes to the best podcasts in the state. Find KFKA podcasts at Apple, Spotify, or 1310KFKA.com. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place. After you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Whole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
La 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 la.
Uh-huh. Why are you, Michael? Why? Why are you? Can I just ask that question? I've asked that before.
Why am I?
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah. Well, that's a good enough answer for me. Welcome back into the whole show. Jerry Schimmel sitting in with us today. Jerry, one of my favorite sports figures throughout the state of Colorado is still George Karl.
Yeah.
George Karl. Pretty ornery on the socials nowadays, but absolutely loved George for so many years. I loved him. I hated when he got let go by the Nuggets. One day, I don't remember how this came about, but you were obviously broadcasting with us doing the UNC games, and you still remain pretty close with George.
Yep.
And you convinced George to come up here and take in some UNC basketball practice for a day.
Yeah.
And that was really awesome.
Yeah.
You invited me to come over, got to sit, basically observe George observing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a treat. And I've since talked to Steve Smiley a lot about what that was like. And man, he glows when he talks about it. It was such a great moment for him, for his players. Then we got to go. We went and grabbed lunch after that.
Yeah, we did.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Some of the stories George told me about the players that I grew up watching and really enjoying. And then you hear some of the crazy stories that he dealt with. You know, Kenyon Martin, they don't seem to love each other that much, it seems. But, man, that was such a treat for me to be able to.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it? Yeah. And George was up for that. It took one text to him to say yes. He loves doing that stuff. He's a basketball junkie. Whether it's high school, college, or pros, he loves to watch basketball and give his evaluation. And, you know, I think hats off, kudos to Steve Smiley for maybe swallowing his pride a little bit and let somebody come in and criticize his program and make suggestions and all that. That's who Steve is. He's incredible that way. And we just had a fun day. We had watch practice, and I've got a couple pictures of you on my phone still of sitting and talking with George Karl.
So cool.
And George is a funny guy, but he's also very serious about the game of basketball, and he believes there's a certain way to play the game and be successful at it. And when you look at the all-time wins list, I think he knows what he's talking about because he's right up there near the top.
Yeah,
so
sure.
That was a lot of fun, and I'm going to lunch with him. I think we went to the GOAT.
Yeah, that was where
we went to the GOAT and had lunch, and he was able to tell his stories. I think about George and the challenges he had. He had talent with those teams, the challenges he had.
Oh, my gosh.
One year he had Carmelo Anthony, J.R. Smith, Kenyon Martin, and Allen Iverson. Same team. Can you imagine coaching those four individuals?
Well, and I'm not, our conversations were great, and I keep a lot of any of the stuff that he said to keep off the record, but a lot of what he was telling me was in his book.
You know,
it was Furious George.
Yeah,
and I remember I said, hey, I have a copy of your book. And, of course, Jerry says, have George sign it for you, and it'll devalue it a little bit. And I was like, oh, you guys are cool with each other. Yeah. But you guys would, like, hang out a little bit after the games.
Yeah,
stuff.
We did. We drank way too much beer, George and I did. I think I was that safe outlet for him. I wasn't a player, wasn't an assistant coach, I wasn't a fan, I wasn't going to talk to anybody about what we talked about. I keep everything confidential, and I think he appreciated that. So there'd be some nights, Brady, I'm serious, where we'd have nights off on the road, we'd fly into a city and play that team the next day, or I get that call in my hotel room at 8 o'clock, Schimmel, let's go get a beer, I need to talk to you. And so we did that, and we bonded over a lot of that. And a lot of it was basketball. A lot of his personal stuff as well.
Sure.
He was very intrigued by the plane crash, and he wasn't a great flyer, and talked a lot about that and his life. And we both came from this Continental Basketball Association. George is a very successful coach there, and talked about those days. So yeah, we aren't as close. We just don't make as much contact these days, but for a while we were super close.
How many of those late night conversations involved Carmelo Anthony?
Large majority.
I was gonna say, is that a no comment? I remember reading a lot about Carmelo and Allen Iverson, and he'd have an interesting scent on his breath at practice and things like that. And that was in the book.
Yeah.
But just being able to hear him talk about that, because as a fan, especially as a kid, like you're growing up watching these guys, we all think, oh yeah, these guys probably can be interesting once in a while, but you don't think about that stuff. You just think about the basketball.
Sure.
And then when you actually hear a coach tell you the stories of, not that it was all bad, but that just some of the chats were wow, how did you guys even coexist that long? Mm-hmm. Based on these discussions that we're having, how did you even keep it going?
Yeah, it's – I tell you, the life of an NBA head coach is a challenging one. I think it's way, way different, Brady, than baseball. If you're a manager in baseball, you got guys that want to be there. They play hard. They want to succeed. Or in basketball, you're just trying to motivate guys all the time. I mean, you're trying to get – George used to say all the time, he said, the biggest challenge is getting five guys to play hard every night. Mm. That was my big – it's not X's and O's. It's not psychological. It is, I got to somehow light a fire under these guys 82 times a year or else we're going to lose. I mean, that's not the way coaching should be.
Right.
It should be about – sure, you want to motivate everybody. Of course you do. But it's about execution and what's our defensive scheme and what's our game plan and how do we execute it and substitution patterns and getting guys rest. It wasn't that for George. The biggest challenge was just getting guys to play hard.
Who else? Obviously, you stayed in contact and maybe not talking as much, but, you know, George going different directions or whatever. But you, Charlie Blackman, you have a good relationship. How many of those guys that you covered, that you broadcasted for, do you still, like, the big names that we would know that you've stayed in contact with over the years?
A handful. Not a huge number of them.
So, like, Mello's not on your contact list?
No, he's not.
You can't call him to get him on the show right now?
I don't think I have his cell
number. Can't blame a guy for trying.
Right. But some others, you know, if we go way back, Lafonso Ellis is still a good friend of mine. He and I connect a lot. Bryant Stith was on that team. He and I are still friends. Charlie Blackman, Walt Weiss from the Rockies days, and some other Rockies players. But not as many as you might think. There are a lot of guys. We did. Charlie Blackman and I led a Bible study for the players, for the Rockies players, for a number of years, and we'd meet once a road trip, so not all the time. And a lot of those guys. Guys that weren't superstars were in those Bible study sessions that I'm still close to. We have that common bond of being Christians. So not a tremendous number of them, but the ones that I do have, we're still pretty darn close to.
And really unique relationships, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
What years were you doing Nuggets games?
I did Nuggets from 1992 to 2010.
So... that was right. Because I became it, and this is how Michael likes to say that I'm a fair-weathered fan, which is just a sin. You know, I hate it. I became a Nuggets fan when they were the worst team ever.
Oh, really?
So when you were broadcasting games, we were listening to pregame, postgame, all your stuff going to the games, and then I'm just there because it's amazing. I love the Nuggets. I mean, I didn't care. Anytime I buy an NBA basketball game on the video game stuff, I was always the Nuggets, and we were always terrible.
Really?
We were never good. Couldn't win.
Yeah.
But I just remember a lot of those guys, and Lafonso Ellis, Antonio McDice.
Yeah.
Who in the world do you know had – my goal in life was to collect as many Antonio McDice cards as I possibly could.
Really?
I had books of it.
Really?
And I'm like, oh, these are going to be worth so much. And no, not so much, Jerry.
Wow.
Not so much.
Antonio McDice.
Yeah.
Kind of forgot about him.
Antonio McDice, Lafonso Ellis.
Yeah.
I remember the Nick Van Exel side, too.
Sure.
The day where Nick came over and played for the Nuggets. That was a wild time. Rafe LaFrentz.
That was – Rafe LaFrentz.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah.
Good call.
I was into it. They weren't good, but I was into it. How was that for you? I guess you got to cover some successful, quite a few.
Yeah, toward the end, they made the playoffs. Once Carmelo got there, I think they made the playoffs about every year.
Yeah.
So, 6 or 7 years in a row, we were in the postseason there, my last 6 or 7 years. But there were some really lean years as well. The second year I was there, they beat Seattle in the playoffs, number 8 beating the number 1. That was a big deal. And I thought, it's a great team, young team, will be good forever. What great timing. Womp, womp, it just went downhill. And then a couple years later had that 11-71 season.
Yeah.
I was talking to Tanner and Brian about on the air this morning about that season. 11-71, so flirting with the worst record in NBA history for a long time. And we actually rallied to win 11 games. We were 5-59 at one point.
Wow.
5-59. And ended up on the road that year, 2-39. We won 2 games on the road.
And I remember those. Like, again, I wasn't tracking as close. I just knew, this isn't a great team, but I love – I remember going to McNichols Arena, and instead of the kiosks being full of Nuggets memorabilia that you could buy, a lot of times, depending on who they were playing, it was the other team that you could buy, especially the Bulls. I mean, you go in there, and it looked like it was a Michael Jordan parade, and of course, I might have – purchased Michael Jordan stuff because
yeah,
Michael Jordan.
Me too.
But that was, I just remember that. Now you go to a Nuggets game and it's like, no, it's Joker.
Nuggets.
It's Nuggets all over
Nuggets,
the place.
Joker all the time.
Get that other stuff out of here. But what was that like for you broadcasting those games when you're that bad, when you're 5 wins? Like what?
Yeah.
You got to come up with other things to talk about, right? You can't just focus on the game.
You know, it's interesting because Brian asked me the same thing this morning. Looking back on it, Brady, does not seem bad. It didn't seem difficult. What I always encountered was other people like feeling sorry for, I can't believe you have to do this terrible team. I never looked that way.
Yeah.
I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to do the best job I can in that broadcast. And if they win the game, that's great. That's a bonus. If they don't, then I'll be ready for the next game. And that's really the way I looked at it. And I think that helped. That perspective helped. I remember... This will sound kind of corny to you, but I remember when I was playing college baseball, and I always thought to myself, if I ever made the major leagues, man, I would never let down. I would always give my best, no matter what. And I didn't make the big leagues as a player, but I made it as a broadcaster. I thought, same thing. I got to be ready. I'm going to execute and I'm going to do the best job I can every single night. And I never swayed from that. That was never a night that I took off ever in the NBA or Major League Baseball. And that's what you feel good about. So when you take that attitude and have that perspective, losing doesn't seem as bad. Hey, I did the best I could. And if people don't like what I did, which some of them didn't, I'm sure, I can't do much about that.
And I don't know who that person is, to be honest. And I'm not just kissing up. You know, when I knew Jerry Schimmel well before I knew Jerry Schimmel. And so it was such an honor when we started carrying Amazing Americans.
Yeah.
And you did such a wonderful job with that show. It was like, cool, we have Jerry Schimmel. His voice is on the station. And then when I got to know you, it was awesome.
Oh.
You know, it was just so cool for me to be able to connect some of those dots from growing up and listening to these teams. You got me through
that.
Some hard times.
Really?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, well, good.
Especially with the Nuggets.
Good.
I was going to ask, and obviously you're Mr. Professional, so you didn't have, I know the guys talked to you about this, you didn't have your Harry Doyle moments then, you know, Major League, Bob Uecker, where you were just like, who the heck's listening? I don't care. You didn't have any of those moments?
I didn't. I sure thought about it. I sure thought about it a lot, especially that one season when 11-71. It's like, Brady, we'd go on the road and play, you know, a good team. It's like, there is no chance.
Yeah.
No chance of winning tonight.
Yeah.
But I would say that to myself, and then I would say, okay, but you still got to be the pro that you committed to be doing. And so that helped me. That helped me a lot.
Do you have a favorite player? Not that you were a fan, but do you have a favorite player on the Nuggets that you were just like, hey, that's a fun guy to watch? And I mean, is it LaPhonso Ellis or is that the guy?
I would say Fonz is probably number two. My big favorite was Dikembe Mutombo.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, just loved his work ethic, loved his approach. He's just a warrior, great guy off the court, did charity stuff, friendly. Learned English, lateness. It's just there's so many things I respected about the late Dikembe Mutombo that I miss, too. And I only had 3 years with him because he left as a free agent after 3 years with me. But and because of me, I think he went to Atlanta because of me.
Yeah, I bet so.
Yeah. He was like, I'm not going to put up with this guy anymore.
Got to get away from Jerry.
Let's go.
He's toxic. He's hard to work with.
Yeah. I don't care if I'm going to make three times the money I made here in Atlanta. I'm going to get rid of Jerry. No, he's probably number one.
How about one that you weren't so crazy about? Guy, or can you name that? Is that a no comment situation?
That's probably a no comment. But there were a handful of those, and you know what? More so, a couple coaches.
Mm.
There were 11 head coaches in my 18 years. We were turning things over a lot.
Yeah,
and there were a couple coaches who were really difficult to work with.
Well, now I'm going through the Rolodex in my brain here. Might have to ask you off the air. Jerry Schimmel's joining us in studio. He's got the big race. What date specific? I know June.
Yeah, June 16th.
June 16th. That's the day before my birthday, Jerry.
Is it
so
really?
I'm sure you'll stop in the middle of the race.
Oh.
On June 17th and shoot me a text.
Heck,
I'm sure.
Yeah, man.
You know, you can probably text while you're...
I could, yeah. Voice text, maybe.
Voice text, yeah.
Voice text, yeah. I can, or maybe just call you. I can do that.
Hey, that would be impressive.
Yeah.
That would be. And your lovely girlfriend, Misty, is here.
Yeah.
And she said that you're like eating during the race.
Yeah.
Like,
you have to.
How?
You have to eat while you're riding.
So you got one hand on the wheel, so to speak?
Yeah, one hand on the wheel and one hand on your drink or your food.
You're not doing spaghetti then?
No.
That'd be a tough one. It's got to be like finger food.
Something that I could eat out of my hands. Yep. I don't use silverware normally anyway,
okay.
So it's no big deal.
No, so it's no problem.
No, it's no problem at all.
You gotta do it that way.
Do you have any blended meals? Like, you just put stuff in a blender and down it?
Well, not necessarily that, but stuff you can buy, like smoothies. Those already made fruit smoothies. Those are really good, easy on my stomach, and I can drink those while I'm riding.
Is that primarily what you're going with, or what kind of foods are we talking about?
Talking to Cliff Bars. Okay, talking, it sounds kind of strange, but meat sticks are good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're tasty. Peanuts, you know, dry roasted peanuts, that sort of thing. Any kind of liquid that you can get, whether it's, you know, a protein shake or Pedialyte or anything like that.
And what?
It's got calories in it.
And beer.
No, we'll be doing that for Jerry while we're thinking about
Jerry.
Yeah,
there we go. Yeah. Or maybe after the race. That's our motto.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What's after the race meal? Is this like a big monster meal?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Depending on my stomach feeling, because you get a lot of stomach irritation during this
you
thing.
You might have to wait a little bit. And then go out and have
Mexican food.
And
Mexican and maybe margarita or two or three.
You'll be thinking about that when you're getting close.
Yeah.
Close to the
edge. I will be, actually.
42 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
/12:47 Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're spending a lot of time here on the show and on the station with Jerry Schimmel. Obviously, great friend to the station. We love hearing Jerry on the airwaves here. But we got a special guest.
Yeah, we do.
Studio. This is a nice surprise.
Yes, it is. Misty Stewart, my girlfriend of almost 3 years.
Girlfriend, but also crew chief. You are responsible for keeping everything together.
I am.
If it doesn't go well,
that's a lot of pressure on you. This is the first time doing this?
First time, yeah. I'm a rookie.
So what goes into the training of being the crew chief for Jerry Schimmel?
I've done some research, watched a lot of YouTube videos. So I feel like I'm trying to be prepared. Had a lot of conversations with Jerry and... So,
are you nervous about like what this is going to, because it's going to be intense once this thing starts up? It sounds like it's going to be intense.
It's going to be intense, but I mean, we have an awesome crew.
Yeah.
My best friend actually and her husband are going to be on the crew, and then Joe Truitt, who's the owner of Best Day Coffee, is going to be on the crew, and a couple of Jerry's cycling friends, Steve and Kent, which thank goodness they're going to be on the crew because they know a little bit about cycling.
Yeah, it's going to be a good mix, but I think it's going to be great. Misty, can you stick around with us for a little bit here?
Sure.
Because we'll be jumping into the 1 o'clock hour here, too, so we'd love to pick your brain a little bit about what kind of goes into it on your side of things, too. And then obviously talk a little bit more about Best Day Ministries and just what this means to you guys, too, with this important, wonderful cause that Jerry's racing for as well. So we'll get into that a little bit later on the show. We also have another guest coming on at 1 o'clock, too, Jerry.
Yep. So Britt Bolfling, who is the executive director, I should say, of the Race Across the West.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that conversation, too. So keep it here on The Hull Show. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The avalanche in the playoffs is no small thing. Just how far will they go? Hear Avs games and coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
I thought we'd get some, like, motivational music for Jerry here. We're sending him off. I know it's a couple of weeks away, but we're sending him off, so can we get some... I love the Chili Peppers, but, you know, something to pump up Jerry here. He's getting ready for a race, Michael.
I can play some death metal.
No, not vampire funeral music.
Vampire funeral music.
That is exactly what it is. And goth
metal
is vampire
funeral.
You wearing your black
music.
Sweater with your candles lit, walking down the hallways with your robe. And nobody wants that image. You're welcome, everybody. I just gave that image to you. Jerry's going to stick with us, too. We've got an awesome guest coming up here in the 1 o'clock hour. Also, his lovely girlfriend and crew chief, Misty Stewart, is joining us as well. So I want to get into that conversation. She brought us lunch, too. I mean, radio people don't. We take free food. We love free food. So when the food arrives, it disappears pretty quickly if we can get to it before Michael. Well, we'll have more conversations, more sports stuff coming up, too, with Jerry as well. Keep it here on The Hull Show. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.